Just a few verses, one in Luke 19, I think. Luke 19, verse 20. And verse 20 says, "There came another saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin." Turn to John 11. Verse 44, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go." And the verses that we read in John's Gospel, verse 7 of chapter 20, "And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." And finally, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 12, "So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Mention was made to this little word, the napkin, and I hope my searching had been right some while ago, that this word is mentioned four times. In Luke 19, we have this man who wraps his pound in a napkin. In John 11, Lazarus is told to be released from his napkin. And in the verses that we've been occupied with, the Lord Jesus' napkin was by itself. And Paul, as he moved through the villages and the city, he again has his napkin. Napkin would really be a sweat rag. I take it was something that they would wrap around their heads while they were at work. And they would be occupied with their job, and they had a napkin. In the first case, a man tells to the Lord, I've buried your gift, your pound, in a napkin. The second case, he's told to be released. The third case, as we said, the Lord's napkin is on its own. His work was finished. And the Apostle Paul, he is carrying on the work of preaching the gospel. But how often are we like this man in the 19th chapter of Luke's gospel? In Matthew's gospel, we are well acquainted with the parable of the talents, recorded in Matthew 25. And in that parable, we find that there are gifts given out to people of different measure, 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And I think what we have in Matthew 25 is something of the sovereignty of God. He can do what he wants. He can give gifts to one brother. He can give another gift to another brother, another ability. And each one of us are responsible to use what we have for the Lord. And here in this chapter in Luke 19, we will notice that he says in verse 13. He called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come, or trade while I am coming. And I want to suggest that each one of us here has a pound. We have something that we can do for the Lord. And because there was 10, it would indicate to my mind our responsibility. And if in Matthew we have God's sovereignty, here we have our responsibility. And each one of us that has received a gift, each one of us has received a pound. And the question is, what are we doing with it? Because there were those who traded. And this one, he hid it in the ground. Now, there may be many reasons why we would want to hide it in the ground. The fundamental reason that this man did it was he had no idea of the character of the Lord Jesus. He said, I knew that thou wast an austere man, taking up where I laid not down, and reaping where thou didst not sow. We think of the Lord Jesus when he was here. There was never a man as kind as the Lord Jesus. There was never a man who had compassion on the multitudes like the Lord Jesus. And I suggest that this man got a complete wrong idea of the Lord Jesus. He was the one that was kind. He was the one that came to serve. You remember the prodigal son when he was in the far country. He could say, how many hired servants of my father, bread enough and to spare. He knew about what was in the father's house, but he had no knowledge of the father's heart. And this man had no knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so he took that which was given to him and he hid it in the ground. You know, very often we do exactly the same. Instead of working with the gift, I use the expression gift, we hide it in the earth. We hide it in this world and we leave it. We take, as it were, the sweatband off. There is so much in our lives that are occupying us that we have no time in order to serve the Lord. And so we hide the ability that we have in the ground. And the Lord Jesus speaking, verse 23, he said, you could have put the money into the bank. I was speaking to a brother many years ago and he said, the bank is the assembly. The least you could have done is to invest your gift in your local assembly. And this applies to every one of us. You may not be a preacher, but we can all do a job in the assembly. We've often spoke about those who carried the temple, the tabernacle. Yes, there were those who had a great job carrying the ark. There were those who carried the utensils, but there were also those that carried the pins. And if they had no pins, there would be no tabernacle. And you know, each one of us has a job to do. It says of David, you know, your seat will be empty, but you will be missed. And you know, not only will you be missed by the brethren, but you will be missed by the Lord. This man, he forgot about putting his money in the bank, investing in the local assembly, where he could do whatever he wanted to do. A little responsibility that he had. Let us invest in the things down here in the assembly. Now we may say, but everything is gone to pot. The meetings are very, very small. We're so little in comparison with what we used to be. And you know, that's exactly what they said in Haggai's day. They said, who remembers what this temple was like when it was first built? And Haggai is called up and he says, nevertheless, he says, there are certain things that remain still today that remained when the temple was in glory. And I'll name the three. He says, I am with you. He says, the word that I covered with you is there, and the Holy Spirit is with them. And you know, beloved brethren, we may be very, very small, but we have in our hands the word of God. And we should be extremely thankful that God has preserved us the word of God. When we gather, as we spoke this afternoon, what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to say, we have the Lord in our midst. The Lord is with us. And what too a privilege it is to be able to have the Holy Spirit of God in each one of our lives. And so we find that this man, putting his gift in the ground, he at the end is a loser. And so the encouragement thing is, in relation to this napkin, let us put our energies, let us put the ability that God has given us, first of all, to work in the assembly and to seek to encourage the saints of God. That will be a wonderful privilege and a wonderful position to be in. When I come to the story of Lazarus, these stories are very well known, but at the very beginning, I think it was mentioned today that Jesus abode 2 days. And he said, you know, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. What a wonderful thing it is that even in John 10, the disciples came to the Lord and said, who did sin, this man or his father? He says, neither, but that the works of God may be manifested. And let us never say when anyone is sick that they are sick because of their sins or their faults. Here, this man was sick, and it was for the glory of God. And we see that Lazarus is put in this tomb. And they say, by this time he stinketh. But the Lord Jesus says again in verse 40, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And then the Lord speaks, and we've often said that he said, Lazarus, come forth. If he had said, come forth, everyone in that graveyard would have come forth. But Lazarus comes forth, and that's completely different to the Lord Jesus. He is still bound. How he came forth bound, well, we don't know. We can only surmise, and we're not here to surmise. But he came forth, and the point is made. Loose him and let him go. Take off the napkin, that sweatband that was around his head, and let him go. And I want to suggest that here was a picture of a man who, having been into death and come out of death, he had a new life. Not according to what the Lord had in John 20 and subsequently, but he had this new life. And what was his job? What is our job? What is one of our greatest privileges? Is to be here for the glory of God. Is to be in this scene where we can actually be worshippers, that we can worship the Father for what he has done. And I'm sure if we really appreciate the fact that typically we've been into death, we've died with Christ, and we're risen from him, there will be a characteristic effect on our lives that we will be the ones that will be worshipping God. We will be given him his right place, and we will be living here for the glory of God. There used to be a brother known to many of us, Mr. Thurston. He would tell me the story of an orchestra and a man, the conductor in charge of the orchestra, and they all started to play. And halfway through, or just at the beginning, he said, stop! Where's the piccolo? And I didn't know what the piccolo was then, but I take it it's a very small wind instrument. But what he said was that the Lord knew, or the conductor knew, that there was something missing. And you know, in our assemblies, the Lord knows if that little bit of worship is missing. It may be missing from any one of us, sisters and brothers alike. We don't just go to the meeting and sit and wait for the brothers to pray. It's our opportunity to worship the Lord in that occasion. What are we going to say about the Lord? And we've said a great deal, but you know, the important thing I think about this napkin that we was wrapped together, that sweatband, is a wonderful proof that the work was done. The work on Calvary's cross was finished. The Lord Jesus said, did he not, in John 17, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Upon the cross, he says, in the previous chapter, verse 30, it is finished, and he bowed his head. And you know, there's a little word that I was really encouraged as one was reading. In Luke's Gospel, I think it's chapter 9, it says there, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And that word is used of the Lord in this verse, where it says, he bowed his head, he laid his head. As a man down here moving through this scene, there was nowhere that he could rest. But here upon the cross, having completed the work, he bows his head. In total fellowship with his Father, the work had been finished. And when we read in the Hebrews, every high priest standing daily, offering sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. What a wonderful thing it is that we are following a Saviour that has finished the work that was given him to do. And that work will take us into glory. But our work is not quite finished yet, because here we find that the Apostle Paul is going around and he's preaching to the people. And again we get the mention of this, here it says a handkerchief was brought. I'm not suggesting for one moment that we can do the same as the Apostle Paul did. It's pretty clear from the teaching of the apostles and of the New Testament that there were sign gifts, gifts that were given at the beginning of the period of the church, and they have not continued. And yet here the principle is really that there was a work to do. There's a job to do in this world, and that is to present Christ to those who are around us. And what a wonderful privilege it is that we have been given this job. It's not given to angels, it's not given to anybody else, but it's given to us to be able to preach the gospel, to go out and tell others of the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus and the wonderful work that he has done. Just those simple thoughts. We have a gift. We have an ability. We have something that we can use for the Lord. Let us use it. We've been set free. We've got a new life. We've got a new nature. We can worship God in spirit and in truth. The work has been finished at Calvary's cross. And what a wonderful thing is, we will never forget the work of Calvary. And in the meantime, let us be like the Apostle Paul, going out to bring others in to this wonderful blessing. Amen.